Hey, guys. Some years ago, I was tasked with the responsibility of hiring a children's pastor. Well, in a small church, large church, it doesn't matter. It's a very, very important position. You want to hire the right person to take care of the kids and the future of the church. So I interviewed this couple, and they were sort of impressive, but I wasn't sure. So I gave them an opportunity to get in front of the kids on a Sunday morning and do their thing. So they showed up, full surgical garb, masks, stethoscopes, surgical tools, instruments, and they laid out a table, and they got some kid to volunteer, and they pretended to take out his heart, and it was black and icky, and replace it with a new heart. And they were sharing the gospel with these kids. Now, I've heard a lot of sermons and seen a lot of things on Sunday mornings throughout my life, but I always remember that one, because having that freshness and that newness of heart is incredibly important. And you get to this passage in 1 Samuel 9. Samuel looks at Saul and he says, I'm going to call you up here. We're going to have something to eat. And then he says, I'm going to tell you all that is in your heart. I find that odd. I find it odd that one man would require of another for him to tell him what's in his heart. How can we not know what's in our own heart? This begs a serious question, because it may actually mean that I'm sitting here talking to you, not knowing what's in my heart, and you're listening, Greg's listening, and we don't really know what's in our own heart. This is a problem. Now, how do we overcome that? That's the question. So let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Let's figure that out.
I think what's interesting is, first of all, why would someone need to know what's in their heart, right? And secondly, why did Samuel feel like he could go to Saul and say, I'm going to tell you what's in your heart? Like, who does that?
Yeah, I guess an Old Testament prophet is the only guy I can think of. Because if you think about it, Saul doesn't really have a direct connection with God, at least not like Samuel does. So maybe God's revealing some things. We do need that. But the one thing I can think about is, the only reason someone would need to tell me what's in my heart is because I don't actually know. Or I don't actually want to admit it, but it would help if someone told me so that we could work on it together. So knowing what's in your heart is vitally important.
And what's interesting is that what you said is, maybe Saul didn't know what was in his heart. He didn't really argue with Samuel over it, right? And so why wouldn't someone know what's in their heart?
Well, think about it. Maybe let's talk about what you're passionate about, what motivates you, what causes you to have self-control and discipline and do the things you don't necessarily want to do to reach a goal. That's a passionate heart. Maybe at one time in our life, younger, we had less responsibility, we had fewer kids, whatever it was, and that was vibrant, man. That drove us, whether it be business, marketplace, relationships, marriage. Think about the romance and the love early on in a marriage that later on we have to keep fanning that flame. I just think the monotony of life, the responsibility, the stress of life, the predictability of life, we get in these lanes and these zones, and all of a sudden dust starts to form on those things that we were once really passionate about. And perhaps that happened with Saul. He's trying to figure out who he is so he can lead other people. What a dangerous place to be. We got to know who we are. It's very important.
I wonder if when Samuel's having this conversation with Saul, and he mentions heart, if Saul doesn't do what many of us do, I think we view heart as an organ. It's kind of the life force. Can't live without it. And that always takes me to the scripture where it says David was a man after God's own heart.
Yeah.
Right? Not as obviously God's physical heart.
That's
Talk
large.
About that
yeah. That's large. Well, physiologically you can't do anything without a heart, right? You don't get oxygen, you don't get blood. It's central to your existence. And you said it, you can't live without it. Well, not only in a physiological sense, but I think in a spiritual sense, you can't live without the heart of God. You end up like a sheep going your own way. You follow after things you want that are not in keeping with what God's heart is. Right here in the front of your journal, it says 1 Samuel 2:35. Why is that there? It's there to remind you consistently that is the bedrock verse that we're trying to seek here. Why? Because God says, I want to raise up a faithful priest who will do, not talk, who will do according to what's in my heart and mind. So Greg is right. King David was a man after God's own heart. If you want to know what's in the heart of David, look at the heart of God. If you want to know what's in the heart of Saul, ask Samuel. there's a big difference there.
Right.
We're starting to notice this huge dichotomy or juxtaposition between, Saul's got this way of operating and David has his way, and they're really different. Samuel has to tell Saul what's in his heart. David already has the heart of God. And and this becomes really apparent. You know, Saul slays thousands and David tens of thousands. I think it'd do us well to look at our hearts and use this journal to do it. Say, well, you know, look down in there. I don't like it. You know, I might find a darkened heart. I might find racism, prejudice, fantasy, lust, procrastination. What's in my heart, you know? What makes me in my heart move towards that supply room when I'm called to be something far more than that? You know, if I look at Greg's life, I look at his marriage, his kids, his ministry, I ought to be able to tell what's in his heart because it motivates him to overcome convenience, comfort, laziness. It brings about valiantry in a man, courage. How do you become a courageous man rather than a discouraged man? How do I have courage instead of be discouraged? How do I become a man who sits on the sofa rather than one who changes the world? You've got to have the heart of God. And maybe this week we start to make room for that. Maybe we need a little more vacancy so God can move in.
That's a great statement. A man who changes the world, right? You have God, who's a world changer, who's about the bigness of changing the world. That's what God's heart is, right? That's how you become a valiant man, which you talked about, which is a great word. It's very much like faithful. I love those two words because it's the difference between what Saul would go around telling everybody was the king. David was actually the king, right? Yeah. He lived the life of a king. That's a heart issue. That's a man who's valiant or faithful.
Yeah. Wait till we get to, you know, David and Goliath. Where was Saul in that whole program, you know, for 3 days being taunted in front of his own men? How embarrassing. He didn't move a muscle because his heart was not in keeping with God's heart. So what is his answer? Well, I'm going to give this young lad, who's probably going to show me up here, I'm giving my armor. Well, he didn't want his armor. He didn't need his armor. He had the name of the Lord God, Jehovah. So this week is a week to look at your heart and be brutally honest with it. What's in there that doesn't belong and what needs to be in there so you can walk as a valiant, courageous, bold, confident man who isn't even thinking about the supply room when he's called to be king. So let's be faithful. Plug those leaks. Take a deep, long, hard look at yourself this week. Don't beat yourself up. Don't get weary in well-doing. You're moving in the right direction. Whether you realize it or not, this task you've taken on is valiant and courageous. So face up to it. Let's man up and have a great week together. And Lord, we'll talk next Sunday. Thank you, Greg. I appreciate
Absolutely.
It.